AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Yay. 952-946-6205. Molly Beck from the Wisconsin State Journal is going to join us. There was a dog and pony show yesterday with the governor on an education bill. We got to talk about that. So Molly's going to join us, get us an update across the river. Hey there, Brett is here with us. How are you today, Brett?
Hey, I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing well. Have you, you probably are like most Minnesotans. We have a friend who has like a sliding glass door to nowhere. Have you ever had that? Where they have like a second floor and either the deck's been torn down and they just never rebuilt it, or, you know, they just, you know, they're planning on building it, but they put the door in before they put the porch in, that sort of thing. And so they got a door that's on the second story of a building with no porch on the outside. Have you ever seen that?
I mean, I've seen it, but I haven't lived in a house like that before. But, no, yeah, because, I know what you're talking about.
Because though. You're sane. You know, it's not a house of horrors. Did you see the story? Some guy up in Grand Portage, Canadian guy out of Thunder Bay, went out one of those doors and boom, he's dead. Ouch. He died. He fell off because there was no porch there. And yikes. How, if you've got that set up, how do you not have that door like permanently locked, blocked off, some sort of sign saying, for God's sakes, don't open this? I'll just go on outside, woo, and done. Done. It's not as bad as the guy out in Golden Valley that fell on the wrought iron fence and impaled himself on the thigh. Remember that guy? That was about a year or two ago. Yeah, liquor was involved there. Just I know that's going to be a shock. Yeah, It's a miracle of some.
Well, was liquor involved with this guy who went out the door? Or?
Apparently, was with him with some friends, but you know, he was down visiting, and I don't know that the details are a little sketchy here. But he goes out; they have one of those second floor sliding glass doors, and the porch is not there.
I suppose, you know, if it's late at night or something, and maybe, you know,
he had a few
going out for a smoke break or something. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, where's they're in the bathroom. I'm going to go outside for a smoke break, and they don't say anything, and they haven't blocked off or locked the door, and down he goes. Yikes. Seriously, you know, I'm just going to, because, all right, first of all, tragic loss of life, Canadian, you know, man that fell and died from Thunder Bay. That's rough. The reality is that whoever owns that house, they're not going to own it for much longer. It's going to be gone because they're going to lose that in a lawsuit on something like this. If you want to just play kind of dumb on this stuff and act like, oh, nothing bad is going to happen. I have a friend right now who's in Minnetonka that's got this sort of setup, and it's the 7-year-long porch project, you know, that sort of thing. It's, you know, one day they borrow someone's saw and cut a hole in the back of the house. So they had to put the door in, but he had no intention of getting the rest of the deck built. So here's you know, just something I can scare the kids with, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, there are some serious consequences. If you build a house like a fool, or if you're not renovating it correctly, oh my God. So that's a word of warning. I kind of get bothered. It's this time of year. We get the ice all over the place. Again, mailmen, stuff like that come through. I don't want some guy falling down and hurting themselves. First of all, I don't want them hurting themselves. Second of all, I don't want them hurting themselves in my yard because I try to keep it clear. But, you know, it is kind of one of those situations where, you know, you have to be careful with that sort of thing. And, you know, you can run into problems. And so good to be with you. Once again, Molly Beck joining us in a little bit here today. Do you remember when we used to have slow news days? Dear God.
Yeah, back in the days when you and Jeff Stein would be, well, what do we want to talk about today?
I don't know, Jeff. You're an idiot. No, you're an idiot. I remember those
Obama
days.
Obama wore a tan suit, you know.
Not the tan suit. Oh, my God. No, not that. We used to have calm days. How is this not solely because of Tillerson coming on out? And, I mean, okay, so we do know that the Russians were behind. I mean, this is standard operating procedure for the Ruskies. They, you know, former spies turn on them. Probably some of these people were, you know, sources for the Steele dossier. They know someone knew about it and blabbed. And so they, you know, they basically want to get rid of these people. They do this all the time. I mean, there was the one guy that they assassinated in downtown Moscow. They assassinated the guy, and right behind the assassination car was three city crews that cleaned and scoured the area completely clear. Right behind the guy, and they, of course, Putin looks like, oh, how can we do it? We didn't know that that was going to happen. Yeah, because street cleaning is scheduled all the time at 2 o'clock in the evening, in the morning rather, in Moscow. No, they do this. This is kind of the way they shut people up, is they just go and kill them. And we know it was them. The nerve agent has been traced back to Russia. It is a given. This is the case. And of course, the, you know, Trump White House, I don't know, it could be anyone. It could be Luxembourg. No, it wasn't. I'm pretty sure Luxembourg didn't kill a former Russian spy in Britain. It could have been Uganda. I'm pretty sure Uganda did not kill a former Russian
Hillary.
Spy. Hillary. It was Hillary. Yeah. Of course, you know it was. She was there. Yeah. No, it wasn't. It was the Russians. Russians did this. When the standard operating procedure is, the standing operating procedure for Trump is to basically say nothing unless absolutely forced to on this stuff. Because, you know, he's a Russian puppet, for God's sakes. Russia got him elected. He is betrothed to Moscow. And, you know, he basically calls Putin and asks him what he should do. This is what's going on right now. And Rex Tillerson apparently didn't get the memo. And Rex Tillerson yesterday goes on out and someone says, did this come from Russia? Sure seems like it. Sure looks like it was the case. Looks like it was Russia. Yep. Sure as the day is long. And apparently that was it. And just think about this. He called Trump a moron. That didn't get him fired. But basically saying, well, the sky is blue today, that got him fired. What got him fired was that he was not willing, especially as Secretary of State in the real world, where Fox News is not the news source of everyone outside of this world, where everyone sees facts and reality. How dare he not go on out there and lie his butt off? And I don't know if Pompeo is going to the new guy, the guy from the CIA that's going to take over. I don't have the slightest idea what he thinks he's getting into. But when you have to be like Nikki Haley and saying, we're putting all you guys on double secret probation. You know, when you get down to that level, you're not getting any respect worldwide. Rex Tillerson has to, as the Secretary of State, walk into meetings with sane, rational human beings and present the United States' stance on issues. I don't agree with Rex Tillerson. I still think he was a horrible choice to be Secretary of State, but he still had a job to do, and he at least had the common sense that he was not going to, considering the nature of the job that he was going to do, just lie his butt off all the time to everyone and look like a complete idiot. He knew he couldn't do that and do his job. So how dare he actually speak the truth and say Russia was the bad guy? And I almost guarantee you, Russia called and said, hey, here's the deal. You need to get rid of this guy. He's bad-mouthing us. Oh, sure, I'll go make a call. And he didn't. I would like to know what Donald Trump, who he was talking to the minute before the tweet that fired Rex Tillerson. And I want to step back on that for a quick second. He fired the Secretary of State, not the Assistant Deputy for Oil Production in Interior Department, not some, you know, Director of Homeschooling for the Department of Education, not the person in charge of Amtrak. No, he fired the Secretary of State via a social media website under 280 characters, most of which were locked, where I believe we're still stuck on cap lock. This is not a sane, rational human being. This is a delusional nutbag who thinks he's smart, who's actually one of the dumbest human beings I have ever seen in my entire life. Once again, I didn't do anything with Russia, but why didn't Obama stop me from doing stuff with Russia? What? You idiot. I would love to know who he was talking to in the minutes before he sent out that tweet, because someone ordered him to fire the Secretary of State, and the fastest way he could do that was via Twitter. And so he did it on Twitter. This is embarrassing how badly this country is being run. It is embarrassing. And it's days like today that I'm glad I don't do Trumpless anymore. I just see sitting at home just writing all the time, because every 5 freaking minutes, another story comes out. State Department corrects the president, saying there was no conflict, that the president's excuses for why I got rid of Tex Tillerson made no sense. They fire that guy, the second in charge, or the one of the deputies in charge at the secretary, the State Department is gone. You have another guy led out of the White House without even his jacket on. What did he do that they wouldn't even allow him to go back to his desk and get personal items? For God, we'll mail them to you. This is an amazing display of incompetence. And once again, where are the Republicans? Quiet. For the most part. One or two are making some noise, but the vast majority of them, the Eric Paulsons, the Jason Lewises, the Tom Emmers, this is insanity at this point, is going on. For God's sakes, let's think back to a simpler time. The Trump University scandal. That alone would have completely, totally derailed an entire Democratic administration. The president would have had to resign. They would have had years of people, let's bring another student who was wronged by Obama University or Clinton University up to testify. That one issue alone should have been the end of his presidency. That is quaint comparatively. I brought up the point about how the fact that all these evangelicals are starting to abandon him finally because of Stormy Daniels. Where were you not abandoning him when he was mocking a disabled man? He mocked a disabled man. If I were to walk into any church today and there was a disabled man in one of the pews and I started mocking that man similarly to the way Donald Trump mocked that reporter, that the priest or pastor or religious leader for that institution themselves would lead me from the building. That how dare you do something so disgraceful and disgusting? How dare you? It wasn't a hiccup for you people. The entire White House is on fire and you guys are like, and that is it. You're doing nothing. For God's sake, not only are you doing nothing, Nunez and the clowns on the House Intelligence Committee that are the Republicans put out a report. They didn't even talk to Papadopoulos, the guy that started this whole thing. They never once even interviewed Papadopoulos, the guy who we now know has told Mueller that Donald Trump directly told him to get in touch with the Russians. And they put out this notice to try to basically give some clearance to Trump. When the truth comes out, all of you are going to be held accountable. All of you will. And your argument is this: well, if I say nothing, then when the truth does come out, I can say, oh, I was just as outraged as anyone else. No, outrage means you're saying something. Not a mute, not quiet, not gone silent. You Republicans, the Republicans today are the biggest bunch of freaking cowards I have ever seen in my entire life. And clearly, the Secretary of State was fired because of his comments, where he basically just admitted reality, that the Russians tried an assassination attempt in Britain. And Trump was probably ordered by the Russians to get rid of him.
Nothing's here today. Oh, God. Well, you got your bracket filled out yet?
It is an embarrassment at this point. And by the way, when we come back, I do want to make sure I take a quick moment to talk to the Democrats, because once again, you're thinking too much. You are thinking too much. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Once again, Molly Beck from the Wisconsin State Journal joins us in a little bit. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Hi, this is Kirk Duckwell with the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate. If you're thinking of selling your home, check us out at housegeeks.com. With over 250 sales last year, we would love to help you sell your home too. Contact us today and see how our listings sell faster and for up to 8.9% more than the Twin Cities market average, potentially netting you thousands more in your pocket. Again, go to housegeeks.com today.
Hi, Matt McNeil for my favorite Toyota, the Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota. It's the most amazing vehicle I've ever owned. It's so good, after a decade of driving one, I just bought my second one. Roomy, seats the entire family and their friends and the dog. The safety features, the entertainment system, the fuel economy. Siennas are fantastic vehicles. I will likely own a Sienna as long as I'm driving. See for yourself by test driving the ultimate family vehicle, the Sienna, at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
What do we do with the cars and trucks that are donated to Auto Technical? We help families with transportation. Sometimes they break down in tears, they're so relieved. Kids jumping around saying, oh, now we can go see grandma. Do something great. Donate that car or truck to Auto Technical. Call me.
Call Auto Technical at 612-919-5526 or online at autotechnical.org.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. Brad is in Robbinsdale. Let's get him in really quick here. Molly Beck, once again, joining us in a little bit. Hey,
okay,
Brad.
Yes, with the unexpected departure of Rex Tillerson, could you either confirm or deny the rumor that you're going to be the next White House Communications Director?
Well, I want to have a career after I'm 50 years old. I want to actually be able to work someplace.
Well, yes, but it seems like every adult in this country will sooner or later be White House Communications Director. Like, I'm sure that Brett and Hunter and myself will be in line pretty soon. But I'm just curious about whether you've gotten the nod.
Well, not yet, Brad, and thank you very much. One of the reasons they can't find him, I mean, Colbert did a thing last Friday where he's talking about how there's like 633 what they're called integral positions that are people. These are important high level positions, ambassadors, stuff like this. Trump still hasn't even appointed like 350 of those. Well over half have still not even been appointed and approved. It's a mess. And now he just got rid of his Secretary of State. And the reason why he doesn't think he needs a Secretary of State is because Russia is telling him everything he needs to do. And that's the reality, is that he goes into the bathroom, calls, Vlad, tell me what to do. And he's doing it. And he thinks he's smarter than everyone else. He thinks that he is. I can do all this stuff. I don't need these people around me. This country is going to be lucky to get out of this in one piece. And the Republicans are complicit in it. But Democrats, let me say something, because Tina Smith put out an article about how she didn't really want to get in, that she felt Trump was the decision of the voters. What are you doing, Tina, Senator? With all due respect, I want you to win another term. I do. I want you to win in fall, and I want you to win when your reelection comes up after that, okay? I want you to win. What are you doing? Okay? What are you doing? sometimes Democrats get too damn smart for themselves, and they like to think that they're really, really super intelligent. And I'm going to be avant-garde. How many 15 to 30 point swings in elections do you need to see to tell you the low-hanging fruit here, the easiest target, is Trump, and that you should be, at the very least, it's not basically being a political hack to ask the question if Russia has basically taken over this country. That is not a, oh, I don't want to be seen as incendiary. Come on. Stop trying to be Republican light. Stop trying to basically, well, I'm going to win them over with my drainage ditch policy. What? What? I'm going to win them over with my solar panel initiatives. Okay, don't get me wrong. Good policies, whatever. For God's sakes, attack. You trying to be middle of the road person. I'm middle of the road. Is Trump bad? I don't know. Yes, yes, he's bad. No, he's bad. Yes, yes, he's horrible. You're a Democrat, for goodness sakes. How many, seriously, we've had 10 years of Democrats trying to be smarter than the rest of us, and the reality is it's blown up in our faces. Well, I mean, I'll just take the Democratic votes for granted. I've got to win a few of those Republican votes. No, you don't. You just need to get the Democrats out in numbers. And one of the reasons why the Democrats haven't been out in numbers is because the Democrats don't have Democrats who are proud Democrats. If you're a Democrat who's a proud Democrat and attacking the low-hanging fruit that you should be swinging away on. Ugh. There's a lot of things to go after. I got a tweet here by C that I saw this. The GOP in the state of Minnesota is going after ranked choice voting in Minnesota. They're going to try to make it illegal to have ranked choice voting. And the reason why, I think, has a lot to do with that Minneapolis mayor's race. That Minneapolis mayor's race, they put a lot of Republicans in sheep's clothing in that race trying to take control of that committee. And they lost. And not only did they lose in Minneapolis, but they lost. They've got a real progressive city council now. I mean, it's not the communist that was running. That one woman was a socialist who was running. But it's to the left. It is on the left side of the spectrum. And they blame ranked choice voting. So this is all about Minneapolis and St. Paul basically trying to make it to where they've got to create it where it's a 50-50 shot, that there's a Democrat or the mysterious Democrat who seemed to be a Republican only 5 years ago, but now is, I'm a Democrat now. And they can't do that with ranked choice voting, so they're trying to get rid of that. The other one is Senate File 2487. Now, if you remember, not that long ago, we talked about how there was this conservative club in Edina that was, it sounded like there was some inappropriate behavior. Well, they basically got shut down. They got the conservative club sued the Edina School District. They settled out of court. No one admitted any wrong. No one admitted, there was no transfer of money. There was no one admitted anything wrong. But Edina High School had changed up one or two rules towards their clubs, in regards. Well, of course, this has led the Republican Party to put forward a bill which is, in the argument that they're saying is, oh, this is about, this is Carla Nelson, the Republican from Rochester. She's arguing, it's like, we're protecting freedom of speech. And to protect freedom of speech, like any Republican, like everything they say, anytime they have like an education bill, the bill is to destroy education. Anytime they have an environmental bill, it's to destroy the environment. Anytime they have a transportation bill, it's to destroy the transportation industry. Carla Nelson, Republican from Rochester, is putting out a bill she says ensures freedom of speech. It absolutely annihilates freedom of speech. And Senator Melissa Franson, the DFL from Edina, has come on out. The purpose of this bill is to disrupt districts like Edina. Edina High School enjoys high marks for its residents who recently passed a school referendum with 70% approval. This is part of a larger plan by outsiders to disrupt strong districts like Edina to undermine local control of public education. All the school districts that I represent in the Senate District 49 have my full support. Our dedicated staff and teachers are working hard to prepare our students to be productive citizens, critical thinkers, and the workforce of the future. I firmly believe that issues regarding classroom content should be resolved by parental involvement and elected school board of members, not state bureaucrats. Decisions, once again, local control doesn't matter when it's basically the Republicans. They scream, "Oh, we want local control." Well, look at her. She's in Rochester. She's trying to take control of the Edina School District. Decisions about teachers, students, and school administration be kept at the local level instead of having a prospective one-size-fits-all state-level mandate. The proposed legislative mandate obligates school districts to implement reporting procedures and disciplinary actions for student, teachers, administrators, and all school employees who violate the policy. So basically, if you are a teacher and you invoke your freedom of speech in the classroom, that you now can be punished by the Republicans for speaking. How dare you? We're putting in a reporting. We're putting you on double secret probation. The bill goes against local control and knows the teacher shortage crisis. I'm concerned about this effort and recruiting teachers into this important profession. Why would anyone want to enter this profession when this is the kind of nonsense we have to deal with? Representative Paul Rosenthal, I paraphrased a little bit there. Once again, Carla Nelson, the Republican from Rochester, she's basically trying to say that no one in any school can speak ill will of any Republican or any conservative issue. That you can't say, "Oh, well, I think Trump's bad." If you do that, you get reported. Ha! Carla Nelson, once again, they're trying to shut down freedom of speech because they got to brainwash these kids. And you see what happens when kids start getting an idea of what the real world is like in this country down out of Florida. Caller said Representative Mike Nelson is co-sponsoring of the ranked choice voting bill to get rid of it.
Is that apparently he's a Democrat? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't necessarily agree with ranked choice voting, but if a community wants to do it, that's their right. Because you know what? Us liberals, we're about local control. Not like the Republicans who you can't bag plastic bags, or you can't raise your minimum wage, or you can't have ranked choice voting. And how dare your kids speak ill will of Donald Trump? That's your Republican Party. What a bunch of freaking jackasses. Wow. 952-946-6205. Molly Beck, when we come on back, it's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
Brending Electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years, celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit BrendingElectrolysis.com.
Warning. Last year, over 40,000 Americans died in car-related accidents. Not a pleasant thought, is it? In fact, as thoughts go, it's downright depressing. Well, that's where we can help cheer you up. We're StandUpRecords.com, and we offer the finest in CDs, DVDs, downloads, and merchandise from the best comedians on earth. Artists like Marc Maron, Maria Bamford, Eddie Pepitone, and Doug Stanhope. Available at fine record stores, Amazon.com, and the iTunes Music Store. That's StandUpRecords.com. Come on, listen to us while you're driving. Live dangerously.
Burger Mo's is the perfect neighborhood gathering spot before and after Excel Center events or anytime. Mo is serious about burgers, offering 20 fresh, never frozen varieties. Burger Mo's also offers delicious appetizers, soups, salads, as well as unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Not to mention more than 60 beers on tap and happy hours twice daily. Burger Mo's is located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com. AM950.com.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 36. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 21. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 44. And Thursday, sunny with a high around 38. Ambipolis means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts and is also a brand new specialty marketplace featuring Minnesota-made beer, wine, and spirits. At Ambipolis, you can build your own 4 and 6 packs and taste them all. Ambipolis is located at 949 East Hennepin Avenue in Northeast Minneapolis. More at ambipolismn.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. By the way, if you're wondering where I found Senate File 2487, yes. Melissa Franson posted this note on her social media accounts. I reposted it last night. I'll re-repost it coming up here in a little bit. Our programming here brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com, Restaurant of the Week. Our kitchen down over on 36 between Aldrich and Bryant in South Minneapolis. This is top 5 breakfasts in town. Just hands down fantastic. Small little place. Yeah, it's a tiny little place, but gosh, is it good. Enjoy the breakfast over there. 6:30 to 3 weekdays, 7 to 2 weekends. It's Our Kitchen, the EatLocalMinnesota.com, Restaurant of the Week. The Capitol reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal is Molly Beck, and she is kind enough to join us once again to talk about all things across the river in Wisconsin. Hi, Molly.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going very well. yesterday, your Twitter feed was actually somewhat hilarious, I think unintentionally. There are dog and pony shows, but with Scott Walker, well, explain. Scott Walker went to a school for an education bill signing, correct?
Yes, that's right.
All right. And explain, this is a bill that, this was a bill expanding funding for rural schools, correct?
Right. So the bill gives several million more dollars to schools in rural areas, and it also allows some school districts that have these low state-imposed limits on how much they can raise in property taxes. It lets them raise more property taxes because for decades they've been stuck in these very low limits. So it sends a lot more money to schools in mostly rural areas of Wisconsin.
Now, does it omit metro area schools in Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay?
It does. This is a funding boost for what's known as sparsity aid, which is aid that it's like a supplemental revenue stream for school districts in rural areas that might not have the property tax base that more metro areas have. And again, the districts with the low revenue limits that's just something that they've been dealing with since around 1990, I believe, the legislature imposed these limits.
Well, and it's a similar problem we have here in Minnesota. I mean, rural school districts, you get mandates with, special needs kids that come into a district, and it can actually do some serious damage to a local community's budget. They have to fix this, but this seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't the Republicans in Wisconsin not that long ago actually pull funding from the education in rural schools?
There was a move to boost this aid. Actually, Governor Walker proposed it, and then it was stripped out of the state budget by the Republicans on the budget writing committee. So this is a separate bill that came after that decision to basically do the same thing, and it passed both houses here.
So Scott Walker decides to head. Where did he go to? What school was this at?
He went to, it's called Riverdale High School. It's in the Riverdale School District, which is in southwestern Wisconsin, so about an hour and a half west of Madison.
I know the area. I've driven through there before when I was...
It's very pretty.
Yeah, it's gorgeous country over there. I kind of get the impression the kids... let's start off with that. He clearly was using the governor was clearly using the kids as a prop for his signing session, which I don't know about you, but I don't know if I would want any politician using my kid as a prop in a signing session. Did the people know that he was coming? Because it seems like there was these kids were being ordered that they had to go stand next to the governor. Okay, there seemed to be a lot of that.
You know what? It seems like it had been scheduled. I mean, the choir was there ready to sing, and the band was there, and the gymnasium was full. And then there was a long line of students waiting to get their photos taken with him. And the students seemed pretty into it. I mean, they were taking photos with their own phones, which is indicative of whether or not they wanted to be doing it, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you said, a long line of students, and one of your Twitter posts here, long line of students waiting to take photos with Governor Walker. Students say they were asked to do so. And obviously, once again, you're the school district. The governor says, I want to come on by and sign a bill here. You know, it's an opportunity to shine some light on the school district. I can get that to a point. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is the kind of thing in this day and age that if a Democrat tried to do anything like this, I don't care what state it is, Governor Dayton or anything like this, they would get shouted down. They'd get screamed at about how dare you use kids as props. And here's Walker, you know, basically trying to make it seem like he's the second coming of, you know, the grand saint of education and coming on down. And it really, you know, like I said, especially when you put it in context of the fact that the Republicans in the state have really kind of purged a lot of spending out of education, this seemed a little bit misguided.
That is the, I would say, a major debate of Governor Walker's reelection within the legislature right now. There's a lot of, you know, Governor Walker has proposed a huge funding increase for schools, public schools. In his last budget, he did a statewide tour of public school districts last year to, you know, basically campaign for his funding increase. And Democrats, you know, are wanting to remind people that in previous budgets that he has cut, you know, education by almost the same amount. So education spending, I should say. So you know, ahead of reelection, Democrats are saying that, you know, Governor Walker is, you know, trying to, you know, use what the values that they've had in their, you know, their legislation, which is, you know, adding money for public schools. Governor Walker will say that, you know, the cuts that they made in previous budgets have provided them with this surplus that they're allowed, you know, they're able to give the money back to schools.
Right. So let me go there. You remember all that money we cut out of the schools? Well, we still have it here, and we're going to give it back to you, which would lead to the question is, why did you cut it out in the first place? It's very Tim Pawlenty. When Pawlenty was running the state of Minnesota, where, you know, he would create the problem himself and then come up with a solution generally from the same funds that he had cut, only it worked worse on the backside and said, you're welcome sort of thing. And it seems like, because he has, I mean, I've watched Wisconsin's education rankings fall under Scott Walker, whether that's college, whether that's K-12, the rankings nationally on education since Walker's taken over have distinctly fallen back. And a lot of that people point to his, you know, especially in his first term, his fairly large cuts to education and the University of Wisconsin programs that were, you know, a major problem with that.
And that is an issue that will likely come up in this, you know, in his reelection campaign, because he's one of the candidates. There's many people running against him, many Democrats that are running against him, but one of them, which is seems to be the front runner at this point, though it's still early, is the state superintendent, who is the only Democrat who heads a state agency, major state agency in Wisconsin. And I think the issue of education, if he remains the front runner, will be, you know, something that is at the forefront of this race, because the state superintendent will say that, you know, whatever successes are because, you know, of the things that he's done, and Governor Walker will want to say the same thing. But they'll also be able to, you know, criticize each other for any, you know, decreases in rankings or anything like that.
Molly Beck joining us, the Capitol reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal. You know you're actually getting a fan base up here when people actually, when I mention you're coming on the air, they call in with questions. You know, as you talk, you talk about whether or not Scott Walker will be the next governor, because he's doing something over there, and I've read about this myself, that is pretty obnoxious. He's refusing, and really, is it since the Senate race, which the Republican had won handily during the Trump administration, then lost in the special election, it seems as if from that point forward, he's not calling any special elections and leaving a lot of congressional seats in Wisconsin open, as opposed to potentially have seats which Republicans, you know, might have won or might be contending in, lose big time because the Democratic wave is on right now.
And that is the Democrats' argument for calling for Governor Walker to call these special elections. There is a Senate seat and an open assembly seat in the legislature right now. And after the Democrat Patty Schechner in Western Wisconsin. Beat the Republican candidate who had been in the state assembly. And that was a seat that had been held by Senator Sheila Harsdorf for many years. After that, you know, that victory for the Democrats really energized them, and Governor Walker responded to that with alarm. And then there were two more openings for which he could have called a special election, and he decided not to. He said that the law allows him to, you know, make that decision, and also has said that, you know, there's not going to be any legislative session days for those, you know, seats anyway. So why call them? But Democrats have said, you know, there's still the possibility of a special session this year for school safety legislation. The Senate's still in on March 20th. The legislative session technically, you know, ends in April, even though the two houses have said they're not going to come back after March 20th. But so, you know, the Democrats are, you know, saying, you know, you need to call these. And then actually a group headed by former U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder has sued Wisconsin and Governor Walker for not calling these elections. So that's something that we're also watching. That was just filed last month in Dane County Circuit Court, which is where Madison is.
Well, and I mean, it might be different in Wisconsin, but in Minnesota, regardless, Democrat or Republican, you're a House or a Senator, or a House representative or a Senator, that even if you're not in session, you generally become the point person for a constituent if there's an issue that they want to be addressed, or if there's a concern, or if there's a problem. It would seem to me that this can't be going over too well, even with some Republicans, that the fact that he seems to be so scared of Democratic wins that he's just refusing to have. I mean, we Governor Dayton in Minnesota, I mean, there was a very Republican seat that was 23B that was up for a special election. You call the special election, they had it. And as a matter of fact, they had it within, you know, 2 months. It was barely quick turnaround on something like that. It can't be. Is it going over well, or is this something that, you know, like with a lot of things today, if you believe in Scott Walker, you shrug your shoulders saying, what's the big deal? But if you don't, it you're outraged.
Yeah, I haven't heard too much from on the Republican side. I've heard a couple of Republicans say that, you know, his decision, he can make that decision. He's right to make that decision. The Democrats are not happy. You know, they are pretty outraged about, you know, not filling those seats. There are staff working in their offices to do constituent relations, but, you know, the Democrats' argument is that, you know, there's still legislation that is going to be taken up, that there won't be any representatives from those districts to vote on.
Well, and that's the key, is that those districts will not have representation in the Wisconsin House and Senate, or Assembly and Senate. And so hence it's, you know, it's, that is a pretty brazen move. I have a hard time believing that Wisconsin, I know Wisconsin has gone more to the right than Minnesota has, but I can't believe that's going to leave him unscathed for an election.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how we just had a poll. The Marquette Law School poll had his favorability rating pretty much the same as it was. You know, the last time they did a poll, I believe it's almost the same as, you know, heading into his last re-election. So we'll see how it goes. There are 17 Democratic candidates running against him. And so far, you know, we have a quote unquote front runner, but I, you know, it's hard to say that that's going to stay the case. There's so few differences between the candidates that it's, I think voters are having a hard time, you know, figuring out, you know, who they're all going to get behind, but Democratic voters, that is. But so we'll see how it goes.
My gut feeling is the minute the Democrats win either the Senate or the Assembly, if they win the governor's office, for a while there's not going to be a shredding machine that's not going 24 hours a day in Wisconsin. I'm sorry. I know that that's kind of a political statement to make, and you're not a political person. You're a journalist. But I really get the impression that the minute the Democrats take over, there's going to be, okay, burn it all. Get rid of it all. They don't want anyone to see what's been going on. Because I got to admit, I mean, it's just, it reminds me a lot of when Pawlenty left and Dayton came in, and they kind of realized, and the Republican, the state Republican Party kind of had to come to admit, oh yeah, we're way in the debt. We have a lot more money problems than we originally had. Oh, all this stuff that the governor was doing, it's actually worse. We kind of kept the numbers back. You know, there is always a tendency to hide the negative when it comes to a change of command. And I got to imagine that there's a lot of people that are that would be a little bit bothered if all of a sudden the Democrats were able to get a peek behind the curtain.
We will see what happens.
a very journalistic answer there. Wisconsin State Journal, you can find Molly Beck over there. She's an exceptional writer, an exceptional journalist, as opposed to me. I'm a howler monkey. No, you are very good. I'll put a link to some of your stories out there, and we'll spotlight this interview as well. Molly, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. You bet. Molly Beck with the Wisconsin State Journal. Once again, we'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Guess who called me the other day? You did. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Computer Revolution in Roseville. I want to thank AM950 listeners who called to thank us for supporting the station. So here's an offer exclusive to 950 listeners. Bring your broken computer or cell phone to our Roseville store, say I'm an AM950 listener, and you'll receive $20 off any repair. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. And thanks.
So you know you need your carpet clean to keep your home healthy and smelling good. But don't use just a deal-of-the-day contractor you've never heard of that leaves your home smelling like a janitor's closet. Get spring cleaned with Zero Res and their Gotta Love It guarantee. This month, get three-room Zero Res clean starting at $129. Plus, this month you can still get a great deal when you get your air duct Zero Res clean. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Hi, this is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design, and I'd like you to tune in to a new program, Drink in the Style. Sundays at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style is going to be a one-hour conversation about interior design and aesthetics, all while enjoying a cocktail created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m., brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
Did you know that tooth decay is the most common disease in America, and that over half the American population has some form of periodontal disease? Simply brushing and flossing don't seem to be enough. The abundant bacteria in your mouth thrive off sugar to produce acid and plaque. But what if you could actually prevent bacteria from converting sugar into the harmful byproducts responsible for tooth decay and periodontal disease? Daily Dental Care is a life sciences company that leverages our microbiology expertise to create oral care products that promote strong teeth, healthy gums, and fresh breath. Our lozenges safely and effectively neutralize harmful bacteria and their disease-causing byproducts like acid and plaque, without harming health-promoting bacteria that guard your mouth against the destruction that sugar causes. Supplement your daily dental hygiene routine with our convenient dental lozenges. Go to dailydentalcareswithans.com or Amazon to purchase and use promo code DDC95001 at checkout for a 25% discount on your first purchase.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Daily Dental Care lozenges are not intended to replace daily dental hygiene practices.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Well, the journalists hate it when I get political. I'm sorry. Fantastic writer, though. Molly does a very good job, and it's a very good way to keep up to date on what's across the river, because let's face it, part of Wisconsin is in the metro area, so we should keep an eye on there occasionally, and she's just fantastic to have come on every once in a while. Jim is in St. Paul. Welcome on in, Jim.
Thank you, Matt. You know, I cannot compliment you enough on the way you call it the way it is, and I'm 100% behind you as far as no wishy-washy Democrats for me. The way the Republicans have lied about us on fake news and just outright lying, when we tell them the truth, it's going to sound like hell. Mm. And I also want to say this. I do believe with Tillerson going out today, this is the beginning of the end of the Trump administration. I really believe it.
Jim, thank you very much. By the way, a lot of people wondered where you were at, if you were going to be at the Blue State Ball. A lot of people saying hi. So hi to Jim and St. Paul from everyone at the Blue State Ball. You got it. One side of me agrees with Jim completely on that. This could be the beginning of the end of Trump, because you're getting rid of sanity? I mean, we're starting to get to the point where, you know, the White House is going to be occupied by Fox News reporters, and that's going to be it. On the other side of it, I am also getting a little concerned. We in this country have ICE agents going out and rounding people up just out of the blue. You're a professor at a university, not trying to break any crimes, not doing anything. You're just doing your job. And dreamers are getting rounded up. Undocumented workers are getting rounded up for no other reason outside of be a mean SOB. And racism, I guess. Well, the mean SOB and a racist. This is, you have a belligerence factor which is beyond belief. You have House Republicans calling, this is not, they are no longer just saying CNN and MSNBC and CBS, NBC, ABC. They're not just saying all those news outlets are liars anymore. Now, because the reality hurts them too bad, they're calling all of our intelligence agencies liars. They are calling our intelligence, our own intelligence agencies liars. Tell me this isn't some banana republic at this point. Tell me this isn't some cuckoo kind of, you know, military dictator trying to stay in power that's fighting with its own intelligence agencies. I think that we're also, we're very close. I said back when Trump got elected that when 2018 came along, that there was going to be a major Democratic surge. I said this back then because I knew what was coming. I don't know what happened to the rest of you clowns, but I saw what was coming, for God's sakes. I saw what we were headed for. And I said at that point, would I be surprised if Donald Trump and the administration came on out and said, tell you what, we are going to put off the election of 2018 because there's too many people out there. We can't trust all these people. There's going to be too many illegal voters in this country, and people are too passionate to be voting right now. So we're going to just put off the House and Senate elections. Everyone in the House and Senate is going to stay there until we get to a time where emotions aren't so high, and then we'll have the election. And I said, and the worst part is going to be the amount of Republicans that are going to go and say, well, yeah, maybe we should wait till the country's a little less emotional and then have these elections. And that will be the beginning of the end of the democracy, because then we're not even going to allow people to choose the leaders that we have, even with the compromise systems that we have in place. Part of me is extremely concerned where Trump wants to go. And you know, he's already said dictator for life, president for life, that he wants his daughter to become, you know, the president of the United States. The reality is Donald Trump is a house of cards, and he does not want that to collapse. He wants to make it, he wants to still look like he's something impressive, although it is just a freaking house of cards. It's nothing really impressive. It's just a freaking house of cards, but he's desperate to keep it standing. And all around him, the house of cards that represent all of his buddies and stuff, they've been collapsing left and right, and they're creating drafts, and they're heading for his house of cards. And he's desperate to keep that standing. He will throw everyone under the bus, including his own kids, his wife. He will throw his best friend under the bus as long as he feels like he has a chance of getting out of this whole thing with some level of decorum and respect left. The reality is it's already gone. And that's what really concerns me. When he realizes that we are never going to love him, that we are never going to support him, that he's never going to be beloved, that he's going to be hated forever, what does a tyrannical maniac that's a narcissist do then? And generally, it doesn't go well. Mike's up next. We're back tomorrow. Thanks to Molly Bechtel. Tomorrow, see ya.